Can you hear me?
Hey, Will. Yeah, I hear you.
So how the hell did you wind up in Russia, man?
It's a long story, actually. How's my mic? You hear me pretty good?
Yeah, you're loud and clear. You're good. You're good.
All right. Good, good,
You're
good.
not like military or anything, are you?
No, no. I just, I work over here. I've been over here for about 6 months now, actually. I just got a job here, so moved over here. It's kind of crazy, actually.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh,
yeah.
So yeah, you've been on your own for a while then. That's cool.
I'm sorry?
So you've been on your own for a while then.
Yeah, I've been on my own for a while, and my girl's over here with me too, so it's been kind of nice.
You play ball there?
But it's nice over here, man. I do. How'd you know?
I saw your face. I checked you out. You got in touch through Facebook, so I looked on your Facebook one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of pictures in you and basketball, so I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I play ball over here, so. But it's nice, man. You'd be shocked. Russia's very different than what I thought it would be like.
Really? What's the temperament towards America there?
It's tough to say, you know, because people sometimes keep their feelings confined, but they're outwardly pretty nice to me. But inwardly, I get the feeling that they think we're all kind of stupid. You know, pretty typical stuff for what people overseas feel about Americans.
Yeah, well, I guess they have that in common with myself. I'm just kidding.
With where?
I think they have that in common with me, thinking all Americans are stupid, too. We are.
Me too, actually.
We're lazy, man. I mean, I think
we're a different breed, man.
How long you grew up here, right? And you were raised in what part of the country?
You know what? I actually grew up in China. So
how did this happen? Who are you, man? I'm sorry, Joe. You're starting to sound more and more like a CIA agent. All right.
I'm actually not real. I'm a Skype bot, actually.
That's funny.
Yeah. My parents were actually missionaries when I was little, so we lived in China.
Do you have any connection to any certain religion?
I guess I did when I was little, but now I certainly don't. Well, I guess I do now, but nothing in the fundamental sense.
Oh, you're more of a synchromystic?
I'd say I'm just more of a mystic in general.
Would you consider your work synchromysticism?
No. I'm sorry, would I consider
your work? The videos that you...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope so. I mean, that's what I had... That was my goal initially with them. So, yeah, I like to think so.
How long did that take you? I mean, with all three... You got three vids, right?
Yeah, shit, man. I think you know. It takes forever.
Yeah. The research...
Right. I mean, how long did...
Yeah, the last one took me, like, I don't know, 3-4 months. But...
Right.
So, I mean, each video taking you that long, but you kind of stuck to one topic, but still, like, watching it, like, planning it all out, like, how you're going to present it, I know exactly how long it took. But
I'm
sure others are curious, I mean, because you're kind of you don't have a blog or anything like that, right? I mean, do you have a blog?
I don't have a blog, no.
Yeah, that's a whole nother amount of time.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it, but I can't imagine that it's a whole lot easier.
Calling back here. Where is your family in the States?
They're in Maryland.
Okay, I see.
What about yourself? I can't remember where
I'm
you're
in
from.
Denver right now. I'm Denver, Colorado.
Denver, that's right. That's right.
It's snowing.
Cool, man.
It's snowing. Is it colder than hell? I mean, what part of Russia are you in?
I'm in Samara. We're like maybe 500 miles east of Moscow.
East?
So we're up there, east, yeah. Definitely
4 or 5
Definitely colder than Colorado.
Fuck yeah, I can imagine. Imagine it's permafrost most of the year.
It's bad.
Is it poor there? I mean.
Oh yeah, very poor.
Very what do poor. You do, if you don't mind me asking?
You mean my job
here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, I just play ball here.
So. Oh, so you get paid to play ball. I was going to ask it. I never got to ask it. I know you play ball there, but you're an actual paid athlete. You're not pro, or are you?
Yeah.
You are pro.
Yeah, it's pro. Yeah.
Jesus. You know, that is so fucking weird, because so many people who are into this sort of study are not really athletic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the majority of the people that I've talked to have not been even very into sports. But what I keep...
Right, well, I'd say...
Covers the gambit.
No, go ahead, sir.
No, we've got to have a lag. It doesn't seem like we're lagging, but the way you're responding to my questions, it must be... Anyways, it's weird. I keep getting surprised by how many different types of people are into this sort of study, but I swear you're in the minority for sure. It's just interesting.
Yeah, I actually figured that much.
How did you find this type of... I mean, what got you into it? No, wait, don't answer that. We'll wait for the call. I'm just really interested.
Right,
go get something to drink.
Right.
Do the same. Make yourself comfortable. Get a snack or something like that, okay? I'll be right back. All right, so I'll tell you what I like. I like Marty McFly Haiti helmet. That's fucking cool. The Men in Black.
Good. I'm glad someone appreciated that.
I know that you're probably a little bit skeptical on whether to put that one in, though, huh? I know how it is. Like,
for sure. That was one of those ones. Yeah. You know how it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, because I didn't see that. I knew the Men in Black, but the invisibility thing was blatant. That was almost gave me chills.
Yes. Good. I'm glad someone connected with that.
Is it on purpose?
Is this the official question for my opinion on it?
All right, we'll wait on that one too.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I mean,
yours goes pretty far, dude. Yours goes pretty far. There's some stuff in there where it's like inarguable that somebody had to know. You know what I mean? But you also...
Put, especially in that third one.
Yeah. But you push the envelope. You present it in such a way where it's like, Well, I mean, like, for instance, the mall, the one pine, two pine. And I think I remembered seeing that.
Right.
Like, I wasn't too surprised on seeing that. I think I remember... But the intention behind it is what is interesting to me and how you relate it to everything else, which I understand completely. But that would have, I mean, what would be the intention behind that? Say that if it was on purpose, is it just for educational purposes?
Right. Shit, I have no idea. Because, you know, you think at the time, you know, what concept did anyone have of, like, of the dual pillars and, you know, how prevalent was that in anyone's sort of psyche at the time? Like, now it is, obviously, or at least it is with us.
Right.
But, you know, how much did they know about it at the time for it to even have the option to be intentional?
Right.
It's like, who knows? So.
It's definitely a mystery, but your work, I think, focused on... See, what has happened is, like, you have, like, Jake Kotza and old Steve Wilner vids, which I'm sure you've seen, right? Because yours is
For sure.
Yours is definitely inspired by that presentation style. And what happened...
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. So they kind of have... like, moved away from that style. The old videos are like them trying to figure it out in a way, you know what I mean? Is how I see it. They're
in
the waters. And then they moved into these more artistic presentations. But yours is kind of like, goes back at a later date when we know more. Do you get what I'm saying? And we can see more.
Absolutely.
And it digs in deep. And so I appreciate it because of that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just interesting to me. Like,
yeah, you hit it, man. I mean, you know, I feel like, I think they even said it at one point, now what they're doing is sort of experiencing, you know, what they've discovered, whereas their old stuff was, you know, trying to figure out what exactly they were getting into. You know, with regards to Steve and Jake, I mean.
Hey, when they had the lockout and pro ball here in the state, did you get anybody meandering over there into your league?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, well, you mean as far as like the NBA teams wanting guys from Europe?
Well, either or. I know that there's a couple of players from the NBA who went overseas to China and stuff like that when they had the lockout here. And I know like a couple of our players are like still cross seas because their contracts haven't came up yet. I mean, would you wind up in Russia or no? Or your league?
I don't think there's anyone over here right now who signed specifically during the lockout. Maybe there are in a couple teams, but I think most of them have already gone back if they were here.
Have you played against anybody interesting before?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I played in the league for 2 years, so.
You played in the league for 2 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Who did you play for?
Well, mostly the Bucks, but then the Bulls a little bit, so.
Oh, you played for Chicago as well. That's awesome, man. There's a couple of guys that I work with who are always arguing about the Bucks and shit. It's funny.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. From Denver?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about Denver is that nobody here is native. That's the only way I can put it. Like, so we got people from Texas, we got people from New Orleans, we got people from Ethiopia, it's just fucking it's like a true melting pot here.
Oh, okay.
California. So everybody, like, if you go to a pro game, there's going to be half the stadium wearing the opposing team's jersey as well. They have fans here.
Well, that sounds fun.
Especially football. Football gets bad. So you go to a football game and half the stadium is the other team, and it just gets rowdy.
You know, that is strange because I do know a ton of people from everywhere that I've lived who say they want to or have gone and lived in Colorado.
It's beautiful, man. It's like God's country.
Yeah.
I mean, are you good? You're just up north. You're not in a mountainous area, are you?
Doesn't seem very mountainous. I'm gonna go with no.
So you're in Russia?
Yeah, I'm in Russia. I'm east of Moscow.
What's the place called so I can Google? I don't have any sense of geography.
Any sense of geography in Russia yet? It's called Samara. Spelled just like it sounds. S-A-M-A-R-A.
Uh-huh. So you're on the Volga, is that right?
The Volga?
Yeah.
I guess. What does it say that is?
It's a big river. It's a big river, yes. I've heard, actually.
Yeah. It runs right through Samara.
And so you're really north, and so you're really fucking cold all the time?
Right. I'm freezing right now. My feet are cold.
I'm gonna send you the page for 42 minutes through Skype.
Okay.
But then what about time difference?
Yeah. Right now it's 8:20 p.m. So.
Well, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all, actually.
So as far as like talking to people in the United States, at least, you're like 12 hours or, you know, so it's not a weird, I mean, so it's 9:30 here in the morning.
Right. Yeah, I'm able to catch people on their way to work, you know, while I'm kind of winding down at night. So it ends up being pretty good and pretty convenient.
What?
Okay.
What part of the country are you originally from?
I'm kind of from Maryland a little bit. That's usually where I call home in the U.S.
Did you play college ball there?
I played at West Virginia University.
rising, sun falling. My days cool, my nights yawning. Ain't nothing else to do but move at the speed of light. Ayy, I'm taking flight. Yeah, NASA left behind. I'm so beyond somewhere with Megatron. I'm super gone, you can't relate to him. And let me free my mind. Ooh, I see it all. The galaxy, she want my all. Feel like a child's play. Dive through a Milky Way. Fulfill my destiny. As I cooperate, rate my record plays, my record spins. Nigga, whirlwind. Yeah, I see it all. Become a star, trying to shine through the fall. Oh.
See you in the morning, take off, nigga, I'm time zone, and tell them I'm sky high. Going, going, going up there, nigga, I'm time zone, and tell them I'm sky high. I'm sky high. Nigga, I'm sky high.
Yo.
See you in the morning.
Going, that went alright, huh?
It didn't go too bad. We kind of got a little lackadaisical at the end.
Oh, I think it was a good one.
It definitely was. I'm going to go get me something to drink. You guys chit-chat for a second.
Cool. Yeah, I thought it was good, too. At least I hope so.
No, you're great. Oh.
Doug, man, I got to say, that last, what you said about the price of admission is the veil, that's crazy. That's one of my favorite quotes I've heard in a while. I like that.
Well, so that's the thing that is the big hang-up for me, that if the goal is to transcend material, then it's hard for me to want to get too involved with that goal because I have kids and a wife, you know, and so I have a job to do here in material for a while.
Right.
And so I don't want to escape reality so much as make reality more real.
I find myself because of Sync saying phrases that used to be very fucking scary for me. Like I was reading Kay Dick, and Kay Dick was talking about how, you know, the Akashic record is just basically like everybody who's died. So everybody who has died in the past is recorded in this like field around the earth, this product of death. That's why they're always dead and stuff. And they kind of, you know, influence, because the living are so conscious that they don't see the unconscious, and everything that's unconscious is dead. You get what I'm saying? So the unconscious, it kind of controls what happens in real time. Without the real time, you know, people knowing that it's controlling them. So death at that point would be a good thing. Death at that point would be, you know, that's why there's so much Stargate information about 9/11, because 3,000 people died in like a focused location. And, you know, Hitler was obsessed with the occult and the idea that if he killed people, it would create more power for him. Like, that's a popular esoteric belief, you know, that when you kill somebody that you absorb their life force or whatever. So I found myself thinking this, you know, that if a large amount of people died, it was like a good thing or an okay thing. And before I would be like, no, that's a horrible thing to think. That's a horrible thing to think.
Did you read Valis Part 3, Will? Have you done The Transmigration of Timothy Archer?
Yeah, I read all of them, like twice. You see, that's the important part. The reason they put The Migration of Timothy Archer, and actually there's one that happens before Valis called Radio Free Albemuth that they actually just made a movie of.
Yeah.
At the very first of Radio Free Albemuth, he wakes up because he sees a ghost communicating with him, and the ghost is himself. And that's the whole thing. Like, the dead him from the future was coming back to help him along his way. And you can see how that mixes in with the whole, the book that I'm reading now, 11-22-63, and this whole idea of the Pooka being from the future or outside of time. That's why Doc Brown becomes the Pooka. Because, Joe, I remember what I wanted to tell you. Have you ever seen the movie... Interstate 60?
Hey, man. Interstate 60.
Is that in your video? I can't remember if I saw it in your video or not.
No, but it needs to be.
Dude, when Christopher Lloyd came on there with his name Ray, all I could think about was you. Like, all I could think about, I gotta tell Joe. I gotta tell Joe.
Will, you said in the last, in one 42-minute interview, you said about the trailer. And I don't know if you've gone back and watched it yet, but it's creepy. You should check it out. It's really scary, actually, because in the trailer, what's his name? The main character from Interstate 60, he drives through a tunnel.
Right.
And right when the tunnel vanishes, the first person you see is Christopher Lloyd. Man, it's wild.
Oh, shit, really? Oh, so like in the way that they edited the trailer. We were talking about the tunnel. When he goes through the tunnel, he steps into this unreal interstate.
Yeah. I think you said it, though, or was it Doug? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, we talked about it quite a few times because it was so blatantly, like, attached to your research that it was like, come on. I mean, you could go raw. You could see how it does. That's the weird thing is all of this has to do with Crowley, man. There's no way you can step out of that. But it attaches so much stigma to it about Crowley being, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
About him actually being significant, yeah.
Yeah, like he called himself the leader of the Illuminati or whatever. So it's like a fucking course. It's the Illuminati. Like it is. It's the Illuminati. Christopher Lloyd's in the Illuminati. Fuck, what am I going to do now? Do you know what I mean? But it goes down to the question of if it is, you know, if it's nefarious or not.
It's the fabric of existence. And Crowley was able to read the fabric of existence and understand why it's woven the way it is. So Interstate 60 is like the Wizard of Oz, right? And so I think you've got your next video, Joe.
I know you're going to see
so
much.
Yeah, I think so too.
Jesus, man. I love the fact that your video. See, I took so many details out of my video because I'm like, it's too much. It's too much. It's too much. But when I watch your videos, it's like deliciously too much. It's like, give me more. Give me more.
Yes. Good. Yeah, I was worried about too many details. These Russian clementines are dynamite, by the way.
I think clementines too. That's awesome. We're eating oranges.
You're eating clementines right now?
Yeah, I have mine right here. Oh. I was stripping it down and devouring the bastard. Did they have oranges in fucking Russia?
They have so many oranges you wouldn't believe.
Is it really as cold as, I mean, is it like Rocky 5 cold? Is it?
Dude, it's the tundra. It's Siberia.
It is. So it's like, fuck, oh, that dude's name was Draco.
Was it?
The fucking Russian that Rocky beats up.
Oh, the dragon?
Yeah. We're eating oranges in the year of the dragon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole thread right now.
Well, actually, to prepare for the... you're supposed to buy a bunch of oranges to prepare for the new year.
Yep, absolutely.
Really? So, you guys are on task.
What's that? Is that some kind of weird fucking tradition I'm not aware of?
It's what they do in China.
Really?
Yeah.
But it makes sense because the citrus season happens in the wintertime. So, of course, if you're going to get in tune with the moment, you're going to eat citrus now.
Right, right.
What the fuck?
Doug, how did you know the citrus season was the winter?
Because I sell produce.
Ah, I see.
I'm a fruit vendor.
He's a professional fruit vendor.
That's awesome.
Have you seen the new movie coming out cool with Lee? I attach Liam Neeson to Zeus because of Clash of the Titans, actually.
For sure, for sure.
And he's coming out in that new movie, The Gray, which is very interesting of a title.
What's it called?
The Gray.
Oh, yeah. The Gray, yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm glad. I was flipping out over that when I saw it.
with good reason. I mean, it's almost gets blatant after a while. It's just like, mm-hmm. Come on, are you fucking serious? Like, now you're just fucking with me.
Like Zeus, Jesus, King of the Gods, it is the Grey.
It is the Grey. It is the alien presence, or E.T.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm going to get another arm.
I don't have any clementines. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was in the synchromistic movement, Jupiter equals joy.
Right.
And so in this book that I'm reading, it's called The Swerve, and the guy's proposition is that the Christian idea of life is suffering, that we're living for tomorrow, kind of was a response to the Epicurean pleasure. And so
okay.
his theory is that in the early medieval period or late medieval period, these men of learning, Italians, went out book hunting to find, you know, treasures. And one of the things they found was this poem by Lucretius, which outlined a new way of living. And so you have all these different point of views, but at their core, they have kind of one word that sums up how it is to live, you know? And so to me, this is so fascinating that the Winnipeg School of Sync has a word at the core, joy, you know?
Joy, yeah.
Joy.
See, it's cool because we say, you know, joy to the world on Christmas as well. So I was thinking about this the other day. Joy is like the main word, but that's Jupiter. Sagittarius is also around. I'm sorry, I might be interrupting and completely going in a different direction. But, you know, joy to the world. There's the joy word that's on everybody's door during Christmas. And Sagittarius, which is run by Jupiter, is what is the house that the sun's in at that time. So everything points to Jupiter being Christ.
So, but when you hear about Epicurus and that the point is pleasure, what do you think of, you two?
Shit. I guess I think of peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, like contentment, satisfaction.
And that's what was intended, you know, with the idea. So, but what happened was a lot of people associate Epicurus and pleasure with like gluttony and excess. Mm. And so if you, in his actual philosophy, it's a philosophy of moderation that, you know, to enjoy pleasure, you can't overdo it all the time or else you'll suffer. But the early Christian stuff was about suffering. You know, that was the point. So they looked at the Jesus story and said the important part is the resurrection. And to get to the resurrection, you have to suffer. And so they created a whole world built on torture and suffering, and everything is whipping. And, you know, so you have this lust in your heart, and what you need to do is roll around in nettles and suffer so you don't.
And everything that caused pleasure was sin.
Right.
Sin is almost the equivalent of pleasure, and pleasure almost
right.
the equivalent of sin.
Right.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and you have to beat it into submission. And so this is interesting in terms of joy, because to me, joy isn't necessarily defined yet. So it can be pleasure, but it the hippies were all about ecstasy, right? So they're they wanted to break through the confines of the normal, and this is all built on that torture and Christian ethic of you know, sin. You can't have sex with anyone because that's a sin. You can't act on, you know, so they were acting on all their impulses and were finding these as you know, ecstasy in drugs and sex.
You're making me think of the Stargate, that the Banton in Interstate 60 that's run by Snake Plissken.
Snake Plissken, yeah.
Because that's what they're the euphoria or something like that. They're
yeah,
passing
euphoria.
Out the drug. That's what's so fucked up about that movie, Interstate 60, is it contains so many different actors. It's fucking retarded.
Yeah, that is weird that he was the one pushing the euphoria. But Doug, what was the name of that book that you said? The owner of it, who wrote it? Started with an L.
You were talking about
the destruction of the Library of Alexandria and how they went searching for some book.
Oh, Lucretius. What was the poem called? The book that. It's on the nature of things, or
Lucretius. Because I was just thinking that it was. I don't know the exact context of the book, but when you were talking about joy and Lucretius, it just seemed to me that Lucretius kind of resonated soundly with Loki. And, you know, him being the adversary of Thor or Zeus, you know, also another, you know, Jupiter joy kind of thing. So that was interesting.
Right. And then in this work, you know, it details how in Alexandria, the great library. So this is the apex of the antique period learning, you know. So you have, they decide to have all the greatest minds come and work at this library, and they're paying them tons of money, and you actually have the deity is a combination of Jupiter, Osiris, and Apis, which is like a cow deity. It might be the Jewish pagan equivalent. So that is, you know, you have this melding of these. It's the same archetype, but in three characters and three masks.
Right.
And the Christians, this is the time when Christianity becomes the state religion for the Roman Empire, and then they tear the statue down and burn the library.
Nice.
So it's interesting how the shadow work always has to happen, or else you become your own bad guy.
I don't know.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I don't know.
It's just, it's fascinating because everything that we've done is organically happening. We're not like making things happen. It's just, you know, coming together. And so the philosophy of joy interests me in that I still don't know if it's defined as ecstasy or if it's more of pleasure or a combination of the both.
Yes.
You know, with the point of joy being more of a sync rapture, or if it's to be more of a solidness in material.
Right.
Back to the original thought.
No, shit, I think that's an interesting, you know, question or concept. I think it's probably something that we struggle with, you know, every day without even really realizing it.
Dear God.
You guys eating clementines make me think of that Kate Winslet movie with Jim Carrey. Where her name is Clementine.
Hey, Will, I'm going to blow your mind for a minute. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So you know that street where Christopher Lloyd dances on and he does that torch run?
Right.
It's the street next to the clock tower.
Right.
Well,
that's part of a set.
So, yeah. Is it part of the set? That's not an actual street in Hollywood?
It is a street in Hollywood, but it's like a street that's used over and over and over again in different movies, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. Well, in our boy, I was thinking about Jake's, his first video where he kind of started the whole thing with the Twin Towers and Snake Plissken landing his glider on it, right?
Right.
I don't know. Have you ever seen Escape from L.A. 2? Have either of you ever seen that?
No.
Is it the one that's Escape from...
Escape from New York 2. It's called Escape from L.A.
Escape from L.A., yeah.
So in that movie, Snake Plissken flies a glider also. But you know how in the first one he lands it on the top of the Twin Towers, right? Yeah.
Oh, we tried.
He does that one scene where he's dropping Molotov cocktails or some shit like that.
Does
Man,
he have
you
to
know
survive
where...
off the island?
Go...
Yeah, he does. No, he does serve off the island, actually.
In well, that's the worst, right. I fucking forgot.
The worst special effect water wave I've ever seen. But he lands that glider, the one that he landed on the Twin Towers, he lands it on the exact on the street that that time travel took place next to the clock tower.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
And if you watch, if you notice that scene at the end of Back to the Future, it actually says 9/11 on the road in giant letters.
Oh, yeah, because there's the sign on the side that says 9.
Yeah, very strange.
Very, very strange. Dude, I don't know. You gave me a lot of head candy from that last third video. It feels like you were pushing the boundaries a little bit further with that third video, it felt like to me. Yeah. In my mind. Thank you. I don't see it getting boring, man. Every time that I'm gonna start doing some other shit. Then I see another movie and it makes me go off.
What, like
another
whittling? You're gonna start whittling or
whittling?
I'm gonna do something new. I'm gonna tie flies, I think.
You'd start finding sinks in whittling or something.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'd fucking shut up about it now. I like my 42 minutes a week because I get to talk about it, but I had a very difficult time getting people to understand the importance of it. Like, I've kind of come to the conclusion that it might not be accessible for everyone. I just think some people aren't on the frequency of, like, getting it.
I think it actually is accessible to everyone, but that it's really threatening and really scary because basically you slip out of propriety to say... I mean, it's just so challenging that we're so close to insanity that it's so challenging.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, man. So close to insanity. For sure. But you also got to wonder at the same time if some people really are just chemically, for whatever reason, not able to do it. You know, just like you could kind of delve into a lot of the stuff with the pineal gland and either it being calcified or you know, not active or whatever, you got to wonder if some people just chemically aren't able to do it. I mean, I personally don't know. I don't really, you know, my opinion is that everyone can, but sometimes you wonder.
Sometimes, most of the time, fuck.
Right.
Because I've thought about it for a while. I mean, a lot of people said that the majority of the people who were in synchromysticism were guys, but I've seen that disproven time and time again. There's quite a few girls on the outskirts. And then, like your case was an interesting one this morning when I found out that you were an athlete, not even just a person who's into sports, but who's actually good at them and gets paid for them. That's what's amazing to me, because for a while there, I thought that we were just nerds. Like, there was a certain blood type that...
No, we are nerds.
We certainly are, but it's not like a easily pinned down personality trait. There's not, like...
Right.
It's not. I don't think it
like,
is at all.
Like, psychotic.
It is psychosis in a weird the amount of people who through history have exhibited these I see it over and over how media has talked to people before. I mean, have you ever had personal experiences where you're watching a movie, it seems extremely powerful and it's almost talking directly to you, like it says the name Joe or some shit like that?
Maybe not that direct, but certainly things along that line. Yeah.
I got chill bumps the first time I ever made a video about Natalie Portman and she's ice skating. And then I had cut everything down and I'm putting it into the video and she goes, "It's like the Wizard of Oz, Will." It was William or some shit like that. And I didn't realize that she was saying William over and over. And then when I finally plopped it down, I was like, you know, it was right in front of your nose the whole time, she says. And I was like, oh my God, she's talking to me directly. Like, that's when creepy. You turn the computer off and go to bed. But it's so true. It's like, there's different levels to this. Absolutely. There is a level of it that seems like it's intentional as hell. But there's also a very independent, you know, personal thing that happens. Like you said, you know, the word on the TV is exactly what the word in the book is. Right when you say it, it says it on the TV, or somebody says the word at the same time. It's like your map on how to read this and not get wrapped up into neurosis or psychosis where you think the world is against you. It's actually right. working for it. What do you think the relationship between sync and actually falling in sync during a basketball game is? I mean, you do understand, you know, like flow and shit like that, right? Flow or in the zone, it's the same. It's made of the same shit, right?
Getting beyond your head, right? So you practice all your skills so that you can just flow during the game.
Yeah, certainly. I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never thought about that. That's interesting. But yeah, it definitely is about getting out of your own head, you know, and letting sort of your nervous system or, you know, the way that you programmed yourself previously to just take over. But I've never thought of it in terms of sync, but there might be something there. I'm not sure.
Well, what do you think? Do you pay any attention to conspiracy theory? Do you think we're going to go into World War III with Russia anytime soon?
Man, I'm a conspiracy theory nut, I guess, man.
Yeah, you listen to Red Eyes. So you listen to Alternative, Alex Jones, James Corbett, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I try to digest everything, really. I mean, my whole life is a conspiracy theory investigation, basically.
Do you watch... Yeah, because I was a little confused on your point of view, because you kind of did come off sounding like that you, when you were talking about the movie companies using Stargate symbolism. There is a part of you that believes that this is intentional, correct?
I don't know. I mean, I like to speculate about everything, and I like to think that I kind of believe everything in some small capacity, and so I don't. I really don't know. I think that. Man, it's just too tough to answer. Some of it could be intentional, some of it maybe isn't. I think the movie logo things, though, you know, has a high potential to be pretty intentional. You know, I think, don't you?
Well, what about your logo? And then Apophenia.
My, well.
So you have all these light, is it light bulbs creating a face?
It's actually, you remember when you were a kid and you used to play with those machines that you were all pins,
right.
And you stick your hands in?
Oh, yeah.
It's actually, it's one of those making a face. So.
Which is, okay, sure. So let's, this is like these different atoms making the whole
picture.
Universe.
The whole picture from the
Yeah, I liked it because to me it seemed like something like kind of, some sort of archetype or otherworldly like energy creating, you know, an impression that came into like, you know, another dimension in you know, sort of a way, kind of penetrating into another dimension. Yeah. But Will, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier because, you know, I thought you might be interested to know that, you know, among like the athletic community that, I mean, a lot of guys are into this kind of stuff. I mean, my team last year, I mean, I had three other guys on my team who I could sit down and talk about with this stuff. So, you know, a lot of guys are into it.
That's cool. That's,
yeah,
it's very, I mean, it's very comforting because I've had a difficult time talking to it to people. Like you can talk to conspiracy after a while, people are just like, you're such a conspiracy theorist that you've gone over the top. Now you're fucking nuts. Like, just shut up and let's talk about a TV show or some celebrity or some shit like that. And I'm like, no, let's not talk about who a celebrity's dating. Let's talk about his archetype. And people just kind
of... Let's talk about his archetype.
I don't give a fuck who he's dating because they'll be gone in a week or two. But his next movie will have him portraying Zeus, I guarantee.
Hey man, but you know, one thing that I've thought is kind of settling, at least in my life, is to think that, You know, if I ascend, then kind of everyone ascends. I don't know if you ever thought of it in that sense.
Yeah, well, the weird thing that I've experienced is every time I thought that I had, like, broken through, like, gotten ahead of the game, then all of a sudden, like, my reality changed. And it seemed like, from my point of view, everybody was there anyway. It's like every remodeling I did of my universe inside my head, the outside all of a sudden seemed like everybody had gotten there before me and was waiting for me to get there. Does that make sense?
Kind of. It's interesting, though.
Yeah, so it's like the reality, since I considered for a long time that everybody was part of a reality that was separate than me, like, as soon as I would get a one-up, like, you would learn a new, mental trick that you could pull on somebody. Like, say, if you're trying to pick up girls or something like that, and guys have all these ways that they try to get inside girls' heads, as soon as I would come up with a theory and start practicing it, the girls were already ahead of me. Like, they had, they were already in on what was going on in my head. And it's been, I've started living.
So they'd already read the game.
Like, you can't keep any secrets. Like, it just seems like to me that there's no way you can keep secrets. But I know I can't, because I've played poker and beaten people before. But
so Will, they'd already read the game is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah. It was like as soon as I had put on my invisible cloak, they fucking saw right through it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting.
Have you ever heard of Neoplatonism?
Maybe I've experienced it or thought about it, but I don't refer to it by the name. I've never heard of it, no.
Neoplatonism is actually Neo, like N-E-O, after Plato, where they basically are, they're the ones who interpreted the mythologies post-Plato. You know how the Greek mythologies, the Neoplatonists would write stories on what the symbolism of them meant. Like the pre-synchromistics, you know, they basically were looking at Roman mythology and stuff like that and going, oh, well, actually Zeus is, Kronos means time and yada, yada, yada. But what's interesting to me is I was listening to some Neoplatonist material not too long ago, and they said that Jupiter, Hades, and Poseidon were all the same cat. They're all the same person. They're just three different aspects of the same thing. So Neptune would be the ocean. So Poseidon would be the ocean, which would be the emotional aspect, the sea-like motion of the emotion. Jupiter is more airy. He's the sky. He's the clouds. He's the head. He's the thought process of man. And then Hades is the body of man, like the physical nuts and bolts, physical reality of man. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What
yeah,
do you
yeah.
think about that as far as what your own experiences in your work?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked about this a little bit in the program, is that it's strange when you start to connect, one entity with, associating it synchronistically with certain traits, and then you start to realize, you know, there's a really strong bleed with other either characters or traits. Like you said, like Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, like they might all start to mesh in your own little sync world, and then, you know, suddenly you'll just have to kind of throw up your arms and say, hey, these guys are all the same thing.
Right.
And so actually in my experience, it seems like the trajectory of all my sync endeavors is that all of them are eventually just merging. And right now, the only reason they haven't all merged is because I'm not on that level yet. Like intellectually or spiritually, awareness wise, I'm not there yet. So like in the way I see things, everything is meshed. Everything is the same, like archetype. Like, and I just can't see him as like that because, shit, I'm not there yet. So, I don't know. Does that kind of make sense or?
Yeah.
None of it. Yeah.
All right. I gotta get off here soon. But I want you to know that it was really a treat talking to you today. I mean, I was looking forward to it. I was actually pretty hyped. You're the first individual that we've interviewed that wasn't in the Sync book or anything like that. And plus, I mean, you're kind of on the outskirts of synchromysticism. It's not like you're head deep in all of the community or writing blogs or talking on other people's blogs. So to get another person's viewpoint was, I think I needed it.
Good. Thanks, Will, man. Hey, thanks, Doug. Guys, I really had a great time. You know, I appreciate it. Like you guys, I needed to vent about some of my sync stuff, too. So.
Hey, Douglas, is there anything you want to ask him?
I don't think so. Let me look at my notes here. I like how with your Griffith Park Tunnel, you made a connection to 2012.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I want to say. The quote at the end of your video, you said, if you want to flow, don't rock the boat, jump ship.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thanks, man.
I found another quote attributed to Heraclitus that's basically in a similar vein, you know, no single thing abides, all things flow. So... Mm-hmm. You don't even have a choice.
Yeah, you know, you're the first person to actually bring up that quote. So if you don't mind, I just want to say something about it.
Sure.
You know, Will, it kind of ties into what you and I were talking about like discussing sync or discussing conspiracy stuff with other people. Like that quote just embodies like my attitude towards it now, which is like I feel like talking to people about conspiracy stuff is kind of like always rocking the boat and you want to hype people up and kind of get people to debate with you about the stuff. But like with sync, like if you really want to flow, like you can't be worried about what other people think or what's crazy and what's not. It means like, don't rock the boat, just jump ship, just get out of there. Like just go crazy.
Thanks. I needed that.
But then it's funny because I watched that and this is the first time I've watched sync videos with my wife, you know? So like, part of my process is initiating her into this world. Mm. And so the more years that I do this, the more I'm okay with the insanity of it. But then I'm bringing her into the world too. And so it gives me a different perspective because she's coming at it from a real sane, rational point. And so, you know, she's trying to understand the videos literally or metaphorically, you know, and I'm trying to say, well, it's both. but it's funny because she gets the sync. You know, at the end of the video, she's like, is that a message to us? Jump ship. You know, because in our life, we're having all the 1984 fascism that's kind of, you know, we're sensing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So never thought about it because Back to the Future was 1984, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Was that?
So it's kind of like, well, oh, wow.
Either that or I think that and Buckaroo Banzai were in production in 84. I don't know when they were released. But
that Vincent, I can't even say his name, Vincent Petrolio. That's the thing is Floyd often works with a lot of the same actors. So it seems to be like it could possibly be some weird Jupiter cult or Dionysian cult or something.
Jupiter cult. I like that.
It's fucking weird. I mean, it's fucking weird because it looks very plotted. It looks very... But to do that would be impossible. I mean, that would take a supercomputer lining up all his roles for, you know, a 20-year career.
Or he might just be like, actually, guys, I'd like to shoot this shot.
Yeah, he could be doing it
over there with that tunnel.
Dude, what if we put the sign back in the back that says L? I think that...
Yeah.
He's like, run down the stream where the tires are. Yeah, but if I do it, I'm holding my hand up like a torch. If I know, like I said, I've seen that movie 100 billion times, and I remembered exactly him running down like that, screaming, and then the music changes, and the camera goes down, and then he looks up to the clock, and it's 1985 clock, and it's all busted up and stuff. And see, I've seen that so many times, but I never thought about the torch being tested. It was all the context, and the context makes it totally change.
Sure.
All right, damn it, I got to get off the... I want to talk. I would love to talk to you guys all damn day. And Joe, hopefully later on we can talk again. But thanks again for coming on and dealing with us, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Doug, tell your wife thanks for watching my video.
Keep making them. They're great, okay?
That's what I like to hear. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, have a great day, man. Take it easy. Bye, Doug.
Bye-bye. Love runs high.
I trust you to not do anything weird.
You get enough weird stuff on your own, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I do enough of that by myself. So.